Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 390. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Kev. How about yourself?
I cannot argue. As I have already warned you, I may as well warn the audience. I am making dog treats from this spent grains from the brewing process. And, yeah, they are temporarily going to interrupt the show. Hopefully it goes so seamlessly, though, nobody notices.
Well, now they'll be looking for it, so.
Let them look. They will not find it. But, anyway, we both agreed that, since we usually start with...
Your wife's coming through. Excuse me. did you light that candle?
No, I didn't light that candle.
Yeah, light the candle.
Yeah.
You probably need to blow that candle out.
Okay.
I think it's been up there a long time. Is your dog right there?
Yeah.
I got it.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Yes, Master, I'll take all the laundry upstairs.
Leave it right there.
I got it, Master. It's okay. Heavy. Don't you worry. I got this.
Put it down.
I got this.
Put it down.
It's okay.
You don't... There are sheets on the bed.
There's more. All of your underwear is in here.
Not all of it. Oh, the not-so-rare insight into the world of Stunt Granny's real life.
I'm almost there. One more.
Oh, boy.
I made it. In case you were wondering. Oh, I ran into the door.
Just to update you, she has now run into the door twice.
That's all right.
So, oh, I wish everyone could hear her upstairs. Anyway, but we both agreed that the end of SmackDown was really not a focal point with Dean Ambrose and The Miz. It kept the story going. It worked all those angles, but it wasn't really spectacular. You know, it did what it should have.
I thought the match was great, but no, not the most important news item coming out of the show.
Yeah, but we thought there were two, and the big one in your mind was the old John Cena AJ Styles little verbal confrontation.
This will be the only wrestling podcast I will ever do, which will start with me using the words "fuck Al Roker." I mean, how did that even air on the show? Just, you know, that bit from the Today Show where the host didn't even know AJ Styles' name, and they kept it going, and John Cena kept it going. It's just, that was embarrassing. That never should have made the air of the main show. I don't know, I don't care if the storyline of AJ Styles trying to gain respect, you know, it fit into whatever, that was just an embarrassing moment of television that never should have seen the air on WWE TV.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I'm like, I could understand if he corrected her at some point, then went back to calling him the guy from the South.
Yeah, the guy from Atlanta, yeah.
The guy from Atlanta. If he had corrected her and then went back to it as like, you know, to just goof on him, like, I'd be okay with that, but yeah. The direct just kind of going with it the whole time. It's just like, dude, you're not... It kind of reminds me of Hogan with TNA. I'm gonna go make an appearance, but I'm barely gonna talk about the product.
Right. Yeah. It's very, very similar to that. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know Cena's trying to build his own brand, his own life away from WWE. But you know, when he's got a pay per view on Sunday, you know, and you're selling a pay per view now at a price point of $9.99. That's way more palatable to casuals and the soccer moms or the morning TV watchers who
no.
would potentially, you know, might be interested, might see this good looking young, see this John Cena, this good looking John, nice sweet John Cena fellow, and maybe tune into SmackDown, maybe even order the WWE Network. Maybe not as likely, but you know, it was an opportunity that for the company that John Cena squandered, and John Cena is the guy who talked about he's 100% with the company. I really felt that whole thing was very disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just think that he kind of thought that it was funny to continue to go with it. But,
It wasn't funny at all. I mean, but then again, most morning television is cringeworthy. But
yeah, I try not to watch that kind of TV.
Yeah, but still, it appeals to a different audience. And Cena, as a representative of the company, I believe in that moment, failed his job as representative of the company when making an appearance like that.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, though, I mean, it's just always interesting that, when stuff like that happens, they sure do, love to bring it to TV, to stoke the fire. So, I don't know, that segment was really good. I really enjoyed that, so I mean...
I couldn't bring myself to enjoy it. I just thought Cena was just. I guess if you want me to feel like I want AJ Styles to win on Sunday, I guess it was a success in that regard. Because my God, was John Cena a dick? But you tell me. You go ahead. What you liked about it?
Well, yeah, that's what I liked about it. I guess. Like I guess I don't have a problem with him spouting off, you know, how long he was doing what AJ Styles is doing. You know, he's got to fire back in some regard, and it is true, and it's kind of odd. Like, I mean, there are a lot of people that don't respect Cena.
Right, no.
And I think that people are finally coming around on that sense. I almost feel like the Cena sucks stuff is more ironic at this point than...
Oh, yeah, it's been that way for a while, but I feel like tonight was just, you know, a couple of steps back at least. I mean, he just completely, you know, just completely... He just completely, disrespected, you know, just in a way that no babyface should ever do. He disrespected his opponent. He made his, you know, who has already beaten him three times.
Oh, right.
So AJ Styles is two levels below John Cena, but he's beaten him three times.
Yeah. I mean, if you go by Cena's classification, which was length of time, you know, that would, I guess the thing to me with the, cause Cena's kind of been playing this card a lot more recently that he's not done yet. You know, at some point it, starts to go south. And you know, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of interesting to hear a guy, like, Cena's kind of at that spot, really, now, and it's kind of interesting. You know, he's kind of limited in, like, who his matchups can be. Because, like, no, he just had that U.S. title run. What the fuck am I talking about? And he fought everyone that he possibly could.
Right, yeah.
I just maybe talked myself out of my own point. No, I don't know. I mean, I know that it comes off that way, but I guess I just feel like this feud has kind of been like that the whole time, too. Where it's kind of been more personal barbs, and I guess, yeah. You know, like,
you're right that they've gotten personal with each other, and it's been mostly good, but tonight it just crossed the line into just burying a guy, and it was really, really, I thought it was just really, it was just, you know. Once again, they didn't do anything to just dissuade me from wanting to see this match. I just now am I'm completely on the side of AJ Styles, but which I don't know if that was, that's the whole thing. I'm not sure if that was the goal at all. So in that way, it was kind of ass backwards. That, you know, of course, you know, Cena should respond back strong, but he gave AJ Styles nothing except for maybe you've been on a hot streak for 6 months. That was as close to a compliment as Cena gave the guy. You know, he was just a dick. There was just nothing in his delivery that, you know, I found the least bit respectable. It was just, you know, really, you know. Yes, so sorry, John Cena. We all can't be like you and have no hobbies, no life. Turn everything we do in into some competition with ourselves. You know. I don't think that I would like John Cena if he was like my neighbor or something. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, he always seems more, at least when I did watch Total Divas, he always seemed more personable, and that really cracked me up, like his kind of practicality about it. I know that the drive part there is a whole different,
Oh yeah!
You know that's a whole different ball of wax. Yeah.
Watch some episodes of Total Bellows. That was dry robotic John Cena at his best, I guess.
Oh.
But yeah, no. It's just something about tonight's segment. It's a lot about tonight's segment. Just rubbed me the wrong way. I feel like it just wasn't the right way to go about promoting this match. And despite the run AJ Styles has gone on and. There are still issues there. There are still, you know, things working against him, and I feel like John Cena really, you know, pointed those things out.
Oh. Gotcha. I mean, well, and I'm trying to think of what those particular points were. You know, yeah. I don't know.
Just the issues of people taking AJ Styles seriously as a WWE superstar and not some indie guy. That classic knock. And just to kind of bring that talk back after AJ Styles has been the champion for a while now. He's beaten top guys, including John Cena, three times. Once again, I think that was... John Cena disregarding and discounting AJ Styles' own wins over himself. that I think was my biggest issue.
Right. Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't think, I guess the other thing is, I guess I just don't think that Cena's going to flip anyone. Like, the kids are still going to cheer him, even though, you know, even though that is the underlying circumstance, you know, I guess, you know, they don't look at him with that much of a critical eye. So, yeah, I don't, I guess I don't. Feel like it changes the dynamic of the match all that much. Because, you know, it would be pretty crazy if Styles gets another win over Cena.
Yeah. So what? And I guess after tonight, I'm more expecting it because you don't want to put that, you know, a label, you know, a negative label on AJ Styles after everything that John Cena said about him. But, you know, once again, still totally lose. That's still... yeah, all options are on the table here.
Yeah.
Plus, you also have Elimination Chamber in 2 weeks, so, you know, it's not like the result of this match is going to stick for... which is a negative, and we weren't able to be on the show together last week for me to express that point. Yeah, I do believe that is, you know, already advertising Elimination Chamber as a championship match. I do think that it does, you know, demean the importance of this match. Just saying that, you know, 2 weeks later we're just gonna have another title match, and four other guys are gonna be involved, and yeah.
And most likely, so, it's gonna be these two guys that are in this match anyway.
I mean, it'll have to be because there's no. You'll have to put your TikTok guys in there, but yeah, I feel like it demeans this match, you know, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, but you gotta advertise the next thing, man.
Yeah, you do. That's the era we're living in. That is true.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, I guess they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot with that one. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, both of them will be involved in the match, whether one win, whomever wins. And, I feel like the title's changed hands at the Elimination Chamber before. Has it?
Yeah, it's changed hands multiple times at the Elimination Chamber. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's supposed to, yeah, you can still delay John Cena's win 2 weeks. You could have John Cena win the title and then lose it to someone else within the Elimination Chamber. Because remember, John Cena's going for number 16 on Sunday. No. If he loses the belt and wins it one more time, that's the record breaking now.
Yeah, I mean, he would need another loss to throw in there not just tie.
In general, what I like about WWE going into this period right now is I don't know what's going to happen in any of the key matches. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what directions they're going in. You know, two pay-per-view, Rumble on Sunday, a SmackDown show, a Raw show, and then finally on the way to WrestleMania. I mean, so much can happen, and I'm, you know, guess I'm just like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, the speculation is fun right now.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. It's a fun part of wrestling when either A, they're playing things very close to the vest, or B, they don't even know where they're going yet.
Yeah, that is a possibility. It's kind of interesting. I mean, just because the amount of names in this Rumble is pretty significant.
It is a very significant Rumble. A lot of big names in there. The focus, though, has been entirely on Raw for those big names and the big men. And that's as much as three big names, obviously: Goldberg, Undertaker, and Lesnar. And the rest of, you know, you got Strowman, you know, Big Show's in, and, you know, Big Cass entered, and Rusev entered. So this is a big man's rumble more than it has been in a long time. And SmackDown is kind of getting the short end of the stick here, with only seemingly Baron Corbin really being focused on it as we head in. Because, like, Ambrose and Miz are in the rumble match, but they barely talked about it. They just declared themselves in. They have not been a focus. And
right.
In general, the focus for rumble match promotion has been on Raw.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if someone disagrees with that, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, of course. That's pretty obvious. Now, that doesn't mean that someone from representing SmackDown can't sneak in at the end and win it.
Oh. No,
I mean, I think it's...
Yeah, again, that, like you said, like, it's kind of weird, because, like, with those... I know that they ended Raw with those three big names, but I guess I don't see either Goldberg or Lesnar winning it, because, you know, there isn't that much of them in a championship chase.
Right. I mean, it can be done. Now you've got Fastlane in first Sunday in March. You can have Goldberg or Lesnar win the title there and defend it against the one that wins the Royal Rumble. They could make Goldberg and Lesnar the championship match, the Universal Championship match at WrestleMania. I wouldn't do that. I would keep the title matches between, full timers, whether you... I just don't like it between those two. If they're the part-timers. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm okay with John Cena being a champion. I'd even be okay with Undertaker in a championship match because of his history. Simply because he's the Undertaker. I mean, it's that simple. But Lesnar and Goldberg as a championship match, as the Universal Championship match, I mean, I guess it's fine if they want it to be the focus of the show and put it on last anyway. I guess you put up the title, but I would leave the title.
Yeah. So I mean, you ran through a really good list of reasons why not to take any of those guys seriously. So that's why I do think, like, to kind of go back to your other point too, that SmackDown really does have a chance of somebody sneaking in for the win.
I just hope it's not Baron Corbin. I'm pretty sure it won't be. I think they won't go there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if he got picked. Baron Corbin. I'd be pretty surprised if he's the one that got tabbed.
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised too. I mean, he's moving along, but yeah, this is certainly not the time for him. I mean, I'm intrigued that, once again, we've only got something on the line, something along the lines of 22 names announced already. That leaves quite a bit of room for potential surprises.
Well, yeah, I thought it was kind of strange. You're talking about Big Cass being one of the bigger guys in there. I was surprised that Enzo didn't say anything. I'm like, seriously, you're not going to have this guy just get... They love people getting tossed out of the ring. Like,
yeah.
Chucked. And he is perfect for that.
Yeah, you know what? I know today on Twitter, some of us were given our good buddy from the South Congress podcast, Cameron Hawkins, a hard time about saying that, there's like too many big names in this rumble, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And I just like start thinking about it, and maybe, yeah, there's not a lot of guys to just throw out. I guess I could see that where that could potentially, be an issue. I mean, there's not, that whole thing, that was kind of,
Cass
is entering the Rumble, and Enzo's just sitting there going, well, I guess I don't really have much of a chance, so I might as well just not even bother.
Yeah.
That whole thing was weird, but your point is right, yeah. This Rumble, I mean, I'm sure, James Ellsworth will find his way in, and, you know, it's not like everyone's, in, you know, built to last in this thing. I mean, you know, you got all three of the New Day in there, and they're not, you know, they're in there to maybe do a little comedy. Kofi will get his annual, you know
spot.
His annual big save himself spot. I probably better word wording for it. You know, springboard, right. Land on his feet, you know, whatever, crazy stunt spot. But, you know, Xavier Woods obviously is just going to be there for just someone to throw out with
reckless abandon. Yeah, he is definitely one of those throw him out guys that's already been declared.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I do think that some of the other big guys, like, Baron Corbin, I would give way more of a chance than Big Cass. Like, I know that he's a big body, but he really is just another guy to get tossed.
Yeah.
In the end of the day.
Cass ain't anything special. No. They're not ready to go all the way with him. So he's not, I think he's not in there to do, he's not in there to do too much damage.
Yeah, and I mean, Rusev, I as much as I like him, like, his chances of being that guy, to me, are pretty low.
Nah, you know what, with all the other guys in the Rumble, no. Handsome Rusev will not be going on that great of a run in the Rumble, I don't think. There's definitely guys who are going to be in there for, you know, the guys who draw in the first five numbers, you know, could, you know, go on 30, 45 minute runs in there, you know. Maybe Rusev could be one of those guys.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's had some longer stays in the Rumble previously.
Yeah, I mean, but 2 years ago, when in the infamous Rumble run by Roman Reigns, he was the last guy out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I feel like he had a good run in that, but I guess I'd have to look that up right now too.
Yeah, he had a pretty good run in that. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a Rumble built around big stars, big guys, big bodies. But it might be a little bit of a different, you know, format this year. It might, you know, or might not follow a specific formula. I mean, I guess maybe one of the things I might think about doing is having, like, Braun Strowman break the single match elimination record. But yeah, as we were talking about, you know, who does he just throw out?
Yeah.
But then again, it's almost funny with Strowman. Actually, I'll say this: it's almost like his history with the Y, other than the. But the tease at the Survivor Series, it's almost like his history with the Wyatt family and everything he did before his singles run didn't happen. Because they were obviously on Monday building up to Braun Strowman and the Big Show colliding in the Rumble.
Oh.
Forgetting that Braun Strowman already eliminated the Big Show single-handedly last year.
Oh, well, I did forget that myself.
Yeah, no. I was reminded about that. And then I reminded myself about that. I'm like, you know, last year Braun Strowman did, and you know what? And Braun Strowman, you know, he eliminated Big Show, he eliminated Kane, who was also strangely not officially in the Rumble yet.
Oh, right. But and again, another big body, another guy just getting tossed out.
Yeah, and then Braun Strowman last year in the Royal Rumble, Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar did collide.
Oh, well, yeah, it's definitely going to be...
The infamous clothesline that looked like it,
oh,
it killed Braun Strowman.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I feel like I can be forgiven for forgetting about the Braun Strowman eliminating Big Show moment. But forgetting Brock Lesnar nearly decapitating Braun Strowman because he wasn't budging from a clothesline is something I 100% should not have forgotten about. Because I remember seeing replays upon replays the following day of that very scene. Because of how rough that looked.
Yeah, that... I'm pretty sure Braun learned a lesson that day that will not be repeated this Sunday.
Oh, man. Yeah. I would think so. So the main event on Raw didn't mean that much. And we're kind of on the Rumble topic itself. I guess of the announced names, who do you think has a shot? Like, I mean, we've kind of run down a lot of people that we don't think have a shot.
Oh, let's see. Who does have a shot? I mean, I think the field is still wide open. I mean, I don't. I'm not.
It's that wide open.
I mean, I gave the reasons why I don't think Brock Lesnar or Goldberg should win the Royal Rumble. That doesn't mean that that's not what they're thinking.
Well, and this is always true, too.
Yeah, so Lesnar, Goldberg, Undertaker, Braun Strowman certainly has a chance, especially if Roman Reigns goes into WrestleMania as champion. They could use that. They've already laid the groundwork for that match.
Yes, they have.
Let's see, who else?
Oh yeah, because go ahead.
The greater possibility, though, is what about the mystery entrance? What about Samoa Joe? Yeah. What about Shinsuke Nakamura? What about Finn Balor, who may or may not be ready yet? I mean, I know I didn't really notice it, but there are people who definitely said when he was shown during the UK Championship tournament that he did look like a man who has not been hitting the weights regularly, whose training regimen and rehab regimen has not allowed him to hit the weights for muscle growth.
Gotcha. So
maybe he really is still close to 2 months away, but still, once again, until he's not in there,
yeah,
that's not going to stop people from thinking that he will be.
I mean the surprise entrance really could have a real impact on the outcome of this.
Right.
And I guess it'd be pretty interesting if, because poor Samoa Joe, that guy, he had to spend a whole lot of time in NXT, and he's watching his buddy AJ Styles on only a 6-month hot streak.
This is true. Yeah, Joe has spent easily way too much time in NXT. I mean, we're going on 2 years now. So yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't make his main roster debut on Sunday. And I'm sure he'll go on a run. If they want to make someone in one night, he's got a chance to win it.
He is definitely. I would say that he is a possibility. Again, will it happen? Who knows? And I'm trying to think of, because I guess with Balor, I'm like, when I did see him at the UK Championships, at least the first part, it at least looked like his shoulder was functioning, so I figured that was good news.
Yeah. Still a possibility, and until that number, that buzzer goes off for number 30, and it's not in. So, and he's not in it. I think that, again, once again, obviously, of course, the vast majority of the announced entrants don't have a home. I guess maybe Ambrose or Miz could be something of a dark horse. I don't, even if Seth Rollins finds a way to sneak his way back into the Rumble, he's just in to, you know, do some stuff with Triple H and Stephanie so that, you know, he can continue that story, which I don't believe is going to be a championship match. I hope they learn their, once again, another lesson learned from last year about, you know, Triple H being involved in championship matches at WrestleMania hopefully was learned. And let's see, try to run down the names and yeah, maybe it's not as wide open as I think, but it feels like it.
Oh.
You really think about it, but maybe it's not as wide open as you think, but again, because there are so many spots still open, so many potentials for surprises, so many people you were thinking, are they under contract elsewhere, are they not? Kenny Omega, the Hardys, Kurt Angle, you know, once again, any number of you know, surprise entrants are possible here.
Yeah. I mean, we could even get a Hacksaw Jim Duggan maybe again.
You know what? It's the 30th one. And he did win the first one, so yeah, the goofy surprises, yeah, you can always do those. I believe the number is up to 22 announced. They might announce a few more before Sunday, and then we might be left with four or five surprises.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the other angles, I guess, going into the Rumble, we have yet to touch on the ladies this week. So, I mean, I guess since we thought that the Rumble was kind of Raw heavy, we can stick to that side of things first. With Bayley and Charlotte having sit-down interviews this week, how did that work for you?
That worked a lot better than their in-ring, you know, segment last week. That was too long. It hit some, it crossed some lines into just being mean and nasty towards your own fan base, as Jeremy, you know, mentioned last week. You know, and Bayley really was given horrible material to close with, just absolutely horrid. But this week, they yeah, kept it simple. They kept it true to the characters. Both were effective in what they said, and their in their goals and who they are. So I know I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, like you said, a lot more than the previous week. The only thing that I was bummed about, I'm like, well, I wish there was more than just a week of solid hype.
Right. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. That.
Because, I mean, it's almost another one where I don't know how you have Charlotte lose that one. Like,
you don't. I mean, it's too soon. It feels like it's coming too soon. The hype for this has been very disjointed. They were even trying to hype this as a match coming out of Survivor Series, heading into Roadblock, but then they decided to go back to Sasha and Charlotte. So yeah, it's been a very disjointed build-up to this match, and you know, there have been some good segments, some bad segments. They're one or two matches they had on Raw. They're non-title matches. Neither of them lit the world on fire in any way, shape, or form. So again, their talking segments have ranged from, even been considered awful, and ending in Bayley being booed. Like last week. So yeah, no, this is not the time for a title change.
Yeah, so I always think that you end up needing to do a lot of work to get the challenger back in there, because I mean I guess I don't really see anyone else for Charlotte really on the horizon. Like, I don't see her moving on to Nia Jax anytime soon.
No, no, no. I mean, if anything at some point, either at Fastlane or at WrestleMania, depending on what they do with Charlotte and Bayley, they'll go to a four-way. With Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, and Nia. I think that that's a pretty good chance at some point. We'll get something like that. But, no, I mean, a one-on-one match between Charlotte and Nia, I don't think that involves a face turn from either of them, and neither of them need to be faces right now. Although, Nia is not a good heel at all. She was practically giggling through her promo. I don't know if that's how she's being directed. Yeah. The constant smiling.
Yeah,
it's just not working for me.
Nothing
about Nia Jax is working for me.
Yeah, it felt very forced what she was saying, and I agree. Like, it was almost like she was grinning when it wasn't. It didn't look like an evil grin, or even that one deserved to be used at that point.
No. It was just not appropriate. I mean. I guess she has a pretty smile, and it just doesn't work for what we're. Maybe she needs to let her teeth get yellow out or something, or let the plaque build up.
Maybe she just needs a new dentist.
Yeah. The one she's got now is just too good. I mean, Sasha Banks is she's still doing all right in her role. It's the kickoff match. I don't know. I mean, I'll be going to a Royal Rumble party. But I don't know how much, what exact time we're turning the show on, and you want to turn it on a little early. You don't want to turn it on right at 8 o'clock and have it not working. So I'm sure not at 7 o'clock. Excuse me. I'm sure we'll. So I'm sure I may very well catch that one. That match is definitely that will be an interestingly worked match.
Yeah. I mean, it obviously seems like Sasha's probably at least somewhat limited at this moment.
I actually don't think the knee injury is legitimate at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've seen nothing that indicates that, actually.
Oh, okay.
But at the same token, you almost never see that kind of a size disparity between women. So that will be... That'll be rough. I mean...
She can't
book a squash. I mean, I can see Nia Jax winning, but you can't book... You can't squash the boss.
it is kind of an interesting spot that they put themselves into. Because yeah, I guess Jax needs the win. I'm trying to. Well, I don't know if she needs it. Like, you just can't really have, Banks win. It, just in and of the fact that she's not going to go back after the title so soon again.
Right, no. So I do see a Nia Jax win here, or some kind of a disqualification, or, you know, referee stoppage. Yeah, something where Nia Jax will come out very strong without damaging Sasha Banks too much. It is my guess. It's kind of a broad general guess, but
right,
that's how I see it going.
Yeah, and then on the other side of things, the Royal Rumble match also screams as an opener. It's a six-woman tag match now that they're going to have with Carmella's with... I'm trying to think of who she... Oh, Natalya. And
no, Carmella's not in it at all.
Oh, she's not in it at all? Then it's Natalia, Alexa Bliss, and Mickey James. Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
yeah, I guess Becky Lynch, Bella, and Naomi. Okay, on for 3 months.
Yeah, as much as I like the entrance, like, I don't think it's caught on like they wanted it to, or like she wants it to.
No, no, I mean, it's visually impressive. I mean, obviously we're throwing all the women's storylines in one match to add another match to the main card, which it's fine. I mean, not really time for any, you know, any kind of, I can see a heel win or babyface heels win, but by pinning Naomi, a babyface win by pinning Natalia, and I'm benching more towards the heel win because Naomi can easily take the fall. You know, it's not time yet to blow off Nikki and Natalia. You know, to do a singles match between Mickey James and Becky Lynch, or, you know, go back to, you know, having, I guess if they want to build Naomi as the next challenger, maybe Becky can take the pin, or maybe I'm just overthinking, you know, who takes the pin in a WWE six-person tag in, you know, in this day and age.
Yeah, you might be overthinking it a little bit. Like you said, there are two people that you can easily see losing on either side. And, the pin could be significant like that. I honestly wouldn't be entirely surprised, if that is the case. Like, it's an indication of who the next challenger is. And, Naomi has already kind of staked her claim to that spot, and for some reason Alexa Bliss agreed. I thought she was going to pull one of those "you're not worth my time" moments.
Well, that's exactly what she did. she decided not to have the match. I don't believe she said, "Oh, we'll do this at a future date either."
Oh, why did I get that impression? Oh, well, fuck me.
It was a little convoluted, I guess. But no, but yeah, Alexa Bliss and Naomi, not exactly exciting me. Alexa's improved an incredibly amount, especially as a character, but in the ring, she's still striving to get there. And Naomi's, you know, never put the pieces together, you know, between her natural athleticism and any kind of ring psychology.
Yeah. Even Kofi Kingston got through that at some juncture.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, those aren't exactly matches I'm excited for. But, once again, I mean, storylines are still all pretty logical. You know, I like the physical interactions between Nikki and Natalya are good. I mean, they're pretty physical with each other. You know, all their stuff looks good against each other. The whole La Luchador angle is just, you know, kind of fun, campy stuff from another era type of stuff. So, you know, that works for me. And, you know, Naomi just came back and they need a spot for her. So, you know, they had room for one more match on the pay-per-view, so yeah, let's throw them all together. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, because, that the Mickey James, Becky Lynch angle obviously just started, so why have any type of a blow-off match with that whatsoever?
Right. There's no need for any of it. There's no need for Nikki and Natalya to have any kind of a blow-off. There's, you know, they poured a lot of heat on that thing, so it deserves its own to be built up to something important.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Rumble isn't a place for that to happen. Yeah, three women's matches. Yeah, it'd be a little rough. But, yeah, I mean, it's, well, I guess another kind of wide open kind of moment there. Was there anything else on the shows that was of interest that we've skipped so far?
The ongoing saga between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, I guess, is the next main topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, I will be so glad to never see any combination of three along with Seth Rollins wrestle each other again. Well, okay, on the babyface heel side, I don't mean any other combinations, but yeah, it's definitely been losing something week after week after week. I like that they made the Owens Reigns match no disqualification. It will add a new element to the match. It will allow them to have a more exciting match, I think, than certainly the match they had at Roadblock, which I really have very little memory of. It wasn't anything spectacular for sure.
Right.
So, and you know, in comparison to the, I'm sure the match AJ Styles and John Cena are planning on having, you know, they weren't. I don't know if in a regular rules match they were going, even with Jericho in the cage above the ring and all that and all the shenanigans involved in that. I don't know if their regular rules match was going to, you know, be able to hold anything, you know, a candle to AJ Styles and John Cena, but, you know, giving them the creative freedom of weapons and going over the building and going through the announce tables and everything else, I think that will certainly make for a better match and hopefully a worthy blow off to this long, long, long stretch of the same three or four guys wrestling each other week after week.
Yeah, I mean, that's how easy it is to wrap that up, though.
Yeah.
You can pretty much sum it up that way. I mean, I guess I'd be surprised if Reigns doesn't become champion. Like, I don't know why he loses the U.S. title. He has kind of... He's had his problems with Brock Lesnar. Like, if you go back to the Royal Rumble thing... He's had his problems with Brock Lesnar. He's had a couple of stare downs with Goldberg.
He's never had any kind of conflict with The Undertaker, and you know they want to do that at some point. Or hangs them up.
Yeah, so like all three of those guys are, I guess, possibilities, I guess, to go back to that. Like, nah, they don't have any chance. I mean, I guess if they do, and I think they will go with Reigns, like, I guess all three of those guys are a possibility at winning.
Along with Braun Strowman.
So, I mean, they all have some type of beef with Roman Reigns.
Yeah. So, yeah, that all, I mean, the future-focused attention of Raw has been very good. I have liked that element of, you know, piecing together and, you know, teasing all the potential matches that could come in the months to come, you know, including potentially at Fastlane, you know, all of the matches that could happen. I mean, yeah, they've done a very good job. By my prediction, yeah, I predict Roman Reigns to win. Do I know for a fact? Would I say that I'm that supremely confident and know for a fact? No. So once again, it's another match that, you know, it still could go either way.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be completely shocked if Owens won. Because again, like, there is another pay-per-view to change titles at. It could be someone else that it changes titles to.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah. And I'm trying to think of what the other angle was. Why am I thinking that there's something else on Raw outside... Because I don't think it's this Cesaro, Sheamus, Gallows, and Anderson craziness.
No, that's not we're talking about. I mean, I guess we touched on it briefly. I touched on it briefly. The the saga of Seth Rollins currently out of the Royal Rumble after a loss to Sami Zayn caused by being distracted by Triple H's entrance music. Interesting wrinkle to put into things. And, you know, I could easily see them. There's a number of ways you could go about it. Obviously, Seth Rollins is not going to be on the show at all on Sunday. I mean, he's either going to, you know, beat somebody up, take their number, and force his way in, or, you know, do a non-wrestling segment calling out Triple H, or, you know, any number of things that you could do.
Yeah, and that was the thing that I was thinking about. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Seth Rollins, too. Because, yeah, anytime Triple H is involved, you kind of need to talk about it. And, I mean, Rollins has been far more adamant recently about calling out Triple H. So it only makes sense that his participation back in the WWE ring happens in January at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain something will happen. If we're by any chance we don't see Triple H on Sunday, I'm pretty sure we'll see him on Monday. But I'm thinking we're going to see him in some capacity. And, you know, Seth Rollins and Triple H will have some sort of a segment with each other.
So, you know, I don't know, like, that's just going to be what it is. I guess it's probably going to be a good match, but I'm just not going to care about that already, I can tell.
Well, what, you don't care about the Battle of the Pedigrees? Come on.
No Battle of the Pedigrees for me. That's okay. Cerebral Assassin, the Architect, go head to head. Who can outmind who? I mean, that'll be the storyline they'll go with, and it'll work.
Sounds so enthused.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not enthused about it. You know, Seth Rollins just either isn't working as a babyface, or they're still just completely screwing things over for him.
Yeah, no. I mean, the issues are there. I mean, when Triple H's music hit, I mean, the crowd went crazy. Everyone thought he was coming out, and not a single person was unhappy about it. So, I mean, yeah, there are issues from day one of this turn on Seth Rollins and Triple H. I mean, I think that they can reverse course and do some good stuff heading into WrestleMania. But I won't stake my life on or anything either. I mean, it's, you know, the damage may already be done. Seth Rollins is a babyface.
Yeah. I mean, so that's why I can't just really get that enthused about it. It's it hasn't been working for a while, and fighting Triple H isn't the solution. Like, I don't maybe know what the solution is in particular, but Triple H ain't it. Yeah. Anything on the SmackDown side? 'Cause, I mean, I do think that kind of covers Raw. Because there really aren't that many singles matches for SmackDown on the Rumble card.
No. There's essentially two Raw matches, two SmackDown matches. And do you consider the Cruiserweight Championship match, you know, a product of Raw or a product of 205 Live, I guess? And most will consider it their bathroom break, despite whatever fine work will probably be done between Rich Swann and Neville.
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that, because for the most part, those guys are not getting much of a reaction.
No. It's unfortunate, but no, that's just not being presented well enough. It's being presented way too as a almost like a separate part of the entire show. I don't think the separate ring ropes and you know, entrance scheme helps them. I think it tells people, okay, what's coming out here isn't important. I think it defines that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the WWE's done nothing for the cruiserweights to help their presentation at all.
No. I mean, I kind of get a kick out of Jack Gallagher, and you know, I think Neville has the potential to be a really good heel. But other than that, yeah, nothing's really conflicting with me.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that about covers the review of this week in the WWE, because Lord only knows I did not watch any TNA this past week.
Yeah, they have scaled back completely on Hardy's craziness. It's totally back to being the worst show on television. I fast forwarded through pretty much the entire show. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, and I guess I'm still keeping up. I'm watching ROH now as we wrap things up.
Yeah. I haven't watched in about 6 months or more. Yeah, I'm completely out of the loop there.
And
what I read.
It's, you know, it's okay. I'm pretty sure that they're going to show Adam Cole getting the title back, which I just think is stupid. Because it's kind of like they did what the WWE did to Dolph Ziggler. Have him win something big and then automatically have him lose it.
Yeah. It was a weird, dumb situation. I believe O'Reilly's contract expired. You know, he may very well be WWE bound. So why do you even put him in the main event of Final Battle to begin with, or send him to Tokyo? I don't understand.
Oh, well, I guess I didn't know that part of things, that he might be WWE bound. But, yeah. That does give you a whole lot of other questions then.
Yeah.
because, yeah, I mean, they really presented it as this is his career. And they had to have him win it. Like, I guess if he was going to stay with them. Or maybe they thought that that would get him to stay with them.
Maybe, I mean, I guess... Only mindset that makes sense. I mean, how do you know that a guy's contract is expiring in early January and put him over for the title in mid-December? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Crazy people. So, yeah, I mean, I had actually liked the build-up to that match with...
I heard it was pretty good.
Cole and O'Reilly.
Final Battle is... After 5 hours, the show was very good. I'm not gonna knock something I didn't see, but I heard nothing but praise.
So, I guess I was not aware of the contract situation. So, yeah, it kind of... Yeah, that's just... it's just bad planning, I guess, on their part.
Yeah.
Or bad execution of contract details, one of the two. Yeah, I don't know. ROH is still just kind of, it's one of those things I feel like I can need to pay attention to it to make sure I'm not completely in the WWE bubble.
Gotcha. Makes sense now. I mean, I guess I could get back on the train there, but yeah, there's just, it just doesn't feel different enough of a product.
It
doesn't have the feeling that it had years ago. The quality of work in WWE increased, you know, when TNA started going with the Hardy stuff, when, you know, there's when New Japan is easily accessible, when any number of things are, you know, easily accessible now. It just something about it that, you know, every once in a while I think it seems like that they latch on to something good, but it never really lasts. It's just a show.
Yeah, like I said, I think that's about it. Like, it's not, well, I guess it hasn't been on TNA level bad in a long time. Like, I don't agree with some of their taping schedules and that kind of nonsense. But I did find it smart that they worked in recently O'Reilly's victory into, like, kind of a remix review show. That made a whole lot of sense. And they even had one kind of fresh episode before they went on, like, a Christmas hiatus. I was like, oh, you guys actually thought about this for a change. Congratulations. Like, most of the time, they'd just go a month without acknowledging it, and O'Reilly would have already lost the title back to Adam Cole before anything got put on TV.
Right. No, that's good, at least.
So, yeah. Okie doke. Well, that's enough about ROH. My beverage tonight, I still have some of the vintage first ever beer that I brewed, and it's not quite as good in hindsight. It did turn out okay, but there have been improvements, and I approve of that message wholeheartedly. So, yeah, I'm at DeFrango11, he's at Chris Calamita, Brand is at Stunt Granny. Everybody, have a good night.
Later.